Temporary anchorage devices in orthodontics do work. This fact is clear. There have been many clinical reports in the literature that document the effectiveness of these mini screws or mini plates. But if you're about to begin using these devices, I'm certain that you'll have many questions in your mind regarding various aspects of the process. First of all, it would be valuable to have information that's based on animal studies so that histology around these implants can be utilized to help give us information. Second, it would also be valuable to use the collective knowledge of various studies that have been performed on temporary anchorage devices. To that end, what we really need is a systematic review of the literature focusing on animal studies that pertain to this topic. That's the subject of this review. The title of this article is Systematic Review of the Experimental Use of Temporary Skeletal Anchorage Devices in Orthodontics. This study was published in the April 2007 supplement of the American Journal of Orthodontics and Dentofacial Orthopedics. This systematic review was co-authored by Marie Cornelis and several other research associates from Catholic University in Brussels, Belgium, and the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. I liked this systematic review because it did focus on animal experiments that were well constructed and well analyzed. The purpose of this article was to examine the available evidence in the literature to characterize functional and morphologic tissue reactions around temporary anchorage devices to determine guidelines that could be useful for clinicians. Initially, these researchers used PubMed, the electronic database, to search for original articles. Their inclusion criteria required that articles would only be accepted if they were animal studies on orthodontically loaded skeletal anchorage that consisted of either metallic bone plates or mini screws that were 2 millimeters in diameter or less. So in other words, they excluded all types of palatal, retromolar, or prosthetic implants. Out of their search, they identified over 30 abstracts that met the criteria. But on further examination, they narrowed this list down to 8 articles that actually fulfilled their requirements. 6 of these articles were on orthodontic screw implants, and the other 2 were on mini plates. All 8 articles supplied information on experimental animal research. Now, 3 different animal models were used and included dogs, mini pigs, and monkeys. The number of loaded implants per study ranged from a low of 10 to a high of over 150 implants. Now, I don't want to bore you with lots of numbers because I think that would be unproductive. It's critical for us clinicians to use these types of studies to answer clinical questions. The authors did accomplish that. Let me break these down into categories. First of all, healing time. In other words, how long do you need to wait before you load the implant? From their review, the authors found that the studies involving immediate loading and a 1-week healing period had some failures. But they found 100% stability if the loading was delayed for up to 3 weeks. In fact, one study tested the difference between 3-week, 6-week, and 12-week healing periods and showed that the 3-week period before loading was sufficient to resist orthodontic forces in the dog. Question number 2. How much force should be applied to an implant initially? There was great variability in these studies, ranging from a low of 25 grams to a high of 500 grams. In a study involving mini pigs, 5 out of over 150 immediately loaded mini screws were lost. But these failures occurred with 300 grams of loading. In the same study, no failure was reported with a 100-gram force applied immediately. What's the bottom line? Begin with a lighter load if you load the implant immediately. Question number 3. Are there any side effects on the adjacent tissues when an implant is placed? The authors found that there was some inflammation noted in 6 of the studies, but no severe inflammatory reactions were reported. Question number 4. Do these implants undergo osseointegration? You see, that's the benefit of having animal studies. Histologic analyses can be evaluated after loading of the implants to determine if bone is contacting the implant. These authors found that in 5 articles, the amount of bone contacting the implant surface varied from a low of 10% to a high of 60%. The authors believe that possible influences on the amount of bone contacting the implant included the healing time before loading, the amount of force applied, as well as the location of the implant in the alveolus. A positive aspect related to bone-to-implant contact found in 2 of the studies showed significant increases in the bone turnover around loaded implants compared to unloaded implants. This suggests that loading of the implant enhances its ability to withstand the stress of orthodontic force. I really liked this article. It gave valuable information that cannot be gained from clinical studies. The ability to evaluate implants placed in animals at the histologic level gives us, as clinicians, the opportunity to assess various aspects of implant responses that cannot be done with a pure clinical study. If you'd like to review this article, you'll find it in the April 2007 supplement of the American Journal of Orthodontics and Dentofacial Orthopedics.